I'm just trying to change the world here, people.
Oh, really?
The Facebooking and the tweeting and the Instagramming, all that would not exist without our understanding of science.
So it's amazing that you do that as an insult.
You mean true for you is different from true for anybody else?
Yeah, absolutely, because I can't
think either got to be true or not.
I can't, no.
Oh, well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And it's that time again. Welcome to O'Reilly Radio. This is show 117A for Friday, July 8th, 2016, where we dismantle the current events for your edutainment through mostly rational conversations that make you go, oh, really? I'm your host, Andy Cowan, and I have my usual suspects. I've got, oh, my God, who is that? It's David.
Oh, my God.
He has returned. David O'Connor has returned, and I have my ever faithful co-host Daniel Atherton also. So welcome back, gentlemen.
Good evening, everybody.
All right. So what can I say about this week other than at least we're alive so far?
Weeks like this that make me drink.
It's been so bloody. So bloody.
It's been rough.
Let me see here. Let me pull up my show notes so that everyone can witness what we have on tap here. A little screen capture action, and there we go. Okay. So it's we're going to start off basically the whole top of the show is going to be the week's events, whether we like it or not, because we kind of have to go through it.
Yeah.
There's a bit of unpacking involved in everything that we do, of course, but
honestly, I need to get the "there's a lot to unpack here" shirt. I need that as a shirt.
You do say that a lot.
Yeah.
You do say that a lot. That would be your catchphrase. David's is, we got to get off this rock.
Just follow the money.
Yeah. The show's is definitely follow the money. David's is, we got to get off this rock. Yours is, there's a lot to unpack here. I know. Where's the lie, though? Right, David?
Eh.
Where's the lie? We got to get off this rock. Okay, so we're bound to make mistakes because this is it's going to happen. You know, it's just one of those days.
There's only so much time to research.
And we're relying on other people to do a lot of it for us. Obviously, we are pundits. We are talking heads. We are merely providing an analysis of the analysis of the analysis from the experts, roughly in that order. So we make those mistakes, and if you find one, we would like to be corrected because we would like to have a nice, firm relationship with reality, whatever that reality happens to be. So go ahead and pause whatever you're listening to, or just scratch down a note, or, you know, pick up a recorder, pick up a phone, and yell at us at 470-222-6759, or send it in email, oreillyradiopodcast@gmail.com. We'll also take text messages and all that with whatever corrections you have to offer. Now, let's call out some names. We've got Philandro Castile.
Yep.
We've got Alton Sterling. We have several Fresno cops. We have several police in Dallas. Five officers, in fact. Seven others injured. We have Michael Strickland. He's a piece of work. We have ISIS being involved. And then a little bit of insurance agency shenanigans that, it's a horrible bit of news, but good to know all the same. So let's start with some of our fallen. Philip Castile. This is the result from a broken taillight stop. Diamond Reynolds, his girlfriend, she was the woman that streamed the aftermath of her boyfriend's shooting death at the hands of Minnesota police live on Facebook, said Philandro Castile. She said Philandro Castile lay dying in the car, and no one came to his aid, according to a testimony on the Facebook video. She sobbed as she recounted what happened and talked about the need to unite to stop police officers from killing innocent people. She reported that Philandro was licensed to carry, and he was reaching for his ID in his back pocket. The police bore arms, and the police officer,
fired without warning.
Yeah, it gets a little bit convoluted from her account there, but actually, when I did watch the video, she was remarkably stable. She was on a mission to get this out to people. Probably the worst part of this, other than him dying for no particular reason, was that their 4-year-old daughter was in the back seat of the car. The police fired 4 shots. Was it 4 shots? I think it was 4 shots. It was 4 shots.
She 4 rounds went into him.
Yeah, so 4 or 5 rounds into a car with a 4-year-old child in the back.
I have to give it up for the Minnesota governor, though. And this is like one of the interesting thing is we're starting to see a change from our politicians, and him at the press conference going, if the passengers in that vehicle, if the people in that vehicle were white, I don't think this would have happened.
Yeah. Now, I will also say that the way the officer reacted after he had pulled the trigger and was staring into the car while being filmed with a proper narration going on by Diamond Reynolds, he was panicked. He was absolutely in terror. He lost his mind.
Yeah.
I mean, feel free and watch the video. It's a hard video to watch, but you'll see how cool, calm, and collected she is, as much as she can be. Up until, of course, she loses it, too. And then the way the officer is. It's a stark contrast, and he lost his mind. Now, also, at the end of this, Reynolds said that she was taken to jail and separated from her 4-year-old child. She said they were not fed or given water, even though they're held for hours, and the police treated me like a prisoner. She said the police took her phone and took over her Facebook account. Facebook apparently also had deleted the video, but nothing stays deleted on the internet. So it's still...
Can't stop the signal.
Yeah, it's still obviously available.
No, and it transfers too fast.
Especially with... I mean, that was the intention of Facebook Live, was for things to go out fast. So this is the kind of viral attention.
And they spread immediately. There, you cannot stop this train. Many people have tried.
Yeah.
Like China.
exactly.
But no, that's actually one of the things that I think is a good note to bring up right now, especially in this dialogue, and it's just going to get bloodier by the minute, folks. Thank heavens. Thank science, thank everything. For cell phones these days. Because, let's face it, in the U.S.'s bloody, bloody history, there's probably more of these things that have happened, but we're only hearing about it now, thanks to modern technical science.
Yeah.
The advent of the cell phone cam has brought a lot of the filthy, dirty, awful things that happen in this country to light.
Yep. And I want to say it's an interesting thing, because that's the best word I can come up for it in our culture, where we seek out the filthy and horrible and terrible things that happen and spread them like wildfire. It's like we love to watch it. And in this case,
yeah, the train wreck analogy, yeah.
We like to watch the train wreck. And in cases such as these, we're becoming the oversight that has never existed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mama Van.
You're actually starting to get outraged now.
Mama Van is saying that that we are reverberating. I don't know if that's continuing or not, but the sound on my end is being captured cleanly. So if you are watching this this live, I'm sorry. You may need to catch it in post. I will recompile the audio back together. I thought I had resolved this issue, but apparently not. So I'm going to curse the name of the capture program once again, XSplit Broadcaster, and we'll have to soldier on. So if you have to disconnect because we're too irritating at the moment, I completely understand, and I hope that you subscribe to the feed, and then you'll get it as soon as it's available. Okay, so that was Philandro Castile, rest his soul. Next up on the hit parade, and actually earlier, was Alton Sterling, age 37, of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, where he was killed by officers and filmed by cell phone as their cameras apparently fell off of them.
Oh,
ironic.
It is very, very suspicious, and where with Philando Castile, I believe, yes, no, it was an officer who just lost his mind and lost control. This one feels a bit more sinister.
Go on.
And I think when the Department of Justice actually does the investigation, they better do due diligence on this one. Everybody's watching now. And I'm certain that there is going... I am more confident that there will be prosecution in this case than I am for the Minnesota case, which is saying a lot.
I think one of the prime differences is the Minnesota case is pretty clearly a rookie cop who completely misread a situation, grossly overreacted to it, and somebody ended up dead, and his career's probably over. Well, never mind, who am I kidding? His career's probably not over, because that's not what we do to people who do this in our country. The Louisiana case, those cops have been investigated, I believe I read, 5 times in 7 years.
You are correct, 5 times in 7 years. In fact, so that story is getting more headway than the actual
murder.
This may
very well be the time they don't get away.
No, if this is going to be investigated by the Department of Justice, this is federal oversight. I expect them to be prosecuted successfully. It's Louisiana, folks. Anything can happen. But they will at least have to stand trial.
Let's see, one of them was accused late August of hitting a man while arresting him. A month earlier, he was accused of failing to follow orders after using a taser in the course of pursuit of a suspect. The only disciplinary action levied against him was a letter of caution in 2012. That was his first year with the department for causing what officials called a preventable crash. Bit of a loose cannon, I would say, but that thin blue line is keeping him safe.
As came out in droves, at least across my feed, and what I view of the net, the analogy is, all right, officers, it's time to treat yourselves like a choir. With those... boys are out of tune, either get them in tune or get them out of the choir.
That would be lovely. And that would be the thing to do.
It's time to face the reality of the thin blue line, in that if you're going to stand strong with these men, if you are going to stand at their side and say, I am proud to stand beside these men as fellow officer, you're complicit in their murder.
Again, there are a lot of good men and women out there that are serving their communities. However, there has been a history of police abuse of minorities in this country since its inception, since before its inception. There has been regular miscarriages of justice, and it's time that the law enforcement community owns up to the crimes both past and present and does something about it. It's a fraternity that cannot stand to have more black eyes.
They will, though. And I don't, yeah. I don't get the impression that they're going to do anything about it on their own. And what
it has to be made in their best interest.
Eventually happening is that they will have to, at some point, what I think is going to be the end result of all this is there's going to be another government agency basically made up of social workers. And you will have one social worker and one cop to a car, and the cop doesn't get to make decisions. His job is to protect the social worker and make arrests if the social worker okays it.
Huh. That'll be interesting.
So I see something like that as basically the end result of this, because they have a long-standing history of not doing anything about this, and they're not letting go.
Well, let's table that for a moment, because the incident in Dallas escalates that.
Yeah.
To a frightening degree. But first, let's go to Atlanta in the Piedmont area. Case of a black man found hanging from a tree in Piedmont Park has been referred to the FBI. Atlanta Mayor Kasim Reed said, quote, there were no discernible signs of a struggle or foul play. A Fulton County medical examiner concurred that the death was consistent with a suicide. Twitter users, many of them on edge in the wake of the two recent videotape shooting deaths of black men at the hands of police officers, weren't buying it. The name of the deceased has been withheld at this time.
Usually when somebody decides to hang themselves, it's in the home.
Yeah, very rarely is it a public spectacle. So
usually if it's something public, you have a jumper. It's not hanging.
Yeah.
I agree that the psychology, there's something wrong here.
I think we can agree on that.
I'm the son of a homicide detective. One of the last and truly awful cases that my father had to work before he retired was a suicide. But this was a man who was off his meds, had become estranged from his family, and committed suicide by chainsaw.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
Probably effective, but...
It was effective and disgusting. It was awful, but again, it was...
And difficult.
It was in a public place. It was a private place. It was done in a parking garage. But the psychology of doing it in a park and hanging, that just doesn't add up.
Nope.
No, not so much. Not so much. I pretty much told you everything that's in this particular article. There's not much.
And I don't, even with the media firestorm that's going on right now, there's enough media noise that this, I doubt, is going to get the degree of scrutiny that it deserves.
Oh, there is a bit of a lead here. What we know so far, there was a body.
Huh, no way.
There was a rope. Police said the scene was consistent with that of a suicide. All so right. Basically, yeah, it's...
That's it.
Yeah.
They're looking for... It's a case where they're just looking for the easy way to close it. I doubt significant forensics was sent to the site. It was probably cursory view. And they've already closed this case, more than likely.
Officials said
the Ku Klux Klan was not in the area the night before the man's body was found.
Yeah.
How do they know the whereabouts of the Ku Klux Klan?
And it doesn't just take... I mean, if you want to spend a horrible, horrible evening, just go down the different white supremacist groups that are in this country.
No. No, I will not do that. I respect myself too much to do that.
It's not enough liquor.
I will not do that. This is bad enough. Having to go through just the headlines is bad enough. The FBI cannot comment on the situation yet. So we'll...
The FBI is busy.
I'm still interested in the statement that they could confirm that the Ku Klux Klan was not there.
Ku Klux Klan, not all white supremacists.
Oh, jeez.
There's a difference.
Had to go there?
It wasn't us. I mean, it wasn't the Ku Klux Klan.
Not all white supremacists. Not all. Oh, jeez.
Fascinating.
We had to go there, didn't we?
What a statement.
Oh, jinkies.
Moving on to the next bit of bad news.
Okay, so...
I need another drink.
Fresno cops. Now, this is at least not a black man. 19-year-old boy. Yes, a change of pace. 19-year-old boy. Cell phone video shows police officers shooting an unarmed 19-year-old Fresno man lying on... See, I know it's not a black man because they told me that it was... They didn't mention any color at all. See? Otherwise, it'd be immediately, it was the black man, because that's a point of interest, apparently, now. I'm just going by the way the media frames these things. Okay, so the video obtained by the Fresno Bee, which is the local news joint there, shows Dylan Noble lying on the ground on June 25th as two officers with their guns drawn stand feet away from him as officers yell, "Keep your hands up," and the other commands, one shot is fired. Seconds later, a third officer approaches the pair, and another shot rings out. At one point during the video, Noble can be seen raising his arm and saying, "I've been shot." The witness video does not show the moments just before the fatal shooting. According to the newspaper, two shots already had been fired at Noble before the recording began.
This sounds like suicide by cop.
Uncertain. This really needs to to be investigated.
Did they confirm whether or not he was armed?
It sounds like he was unarmed.
Dyer said Noble twice raised his shirt with his left hand and used his right hand to reach under his shirt into his waistbands. The officers said he said feared for their lives.
It sounds kind of like suicide by cop.
Possibly.
It's one that's going to need to be investigated.
For sure.
At least in this case, the officers' body cameras did not miraculously turn themselves off. So apparently that will hold the truth of the matter, perhaps. The FBI and the U.S. Attorney General's offices have agreed to investigate the shooting and will have access to all the evidence, Dyer said. The chief said he didn't want the public to think the police department, quote, isn't fair and objective, end quote, in its handling of the investigation, that FBI oversight would provide more transparency. I'm not sure. When you just immediately hand something over to the FBI...
It basically means you have nothing to fear.
There's
No, it's... if we try and handle this internally, especially in this day and age, it's going to look like we're trying to cover it up. And the guys up at the top of that food chain are going, "I like my job."
Well, what kind of reputation? What kind of reputation does it state that they have when that's the immediate first thing they do and immediately saying... We're looking for transparency. We don't want any mistakes.
In my opinion, it's especially in how small the world has become. It's less about your local image and overall image. And if you want to protect anything, if you're going by CYA, it's
the right thing to do.
You immediately hand it up. You go, "This isn't my problem," and pass the buck.
Let's see. Apparently, he hated his life, he told police officers. So, David, I lend much credence to your thought that this is suicide by cop, which is a terrible way to go.
It's awful for everyone involved.
Yeah. Friends and family of Noble and Fresno residents carried a large Confederate flag as they confronted police, while others posted signs at a memorial that said "Justice for Dylan" and "White Lives Matter." Oh,
get over
these people again. Okay. All right. So that's enough attention on
your friend probably committed suicide by cop.
Yeah.
Get over yourselves. You're not a oppressed minority.
Help! Help! We're being oppressed. No. No, you're not. Okay, so, on to Dallas. Sniper attack leaves 5 officers dead, 7 injured in Dallas. The gunman, Micah Xavier Johnson. Oh, look, he has 3 names. That's
automatically.
Automatically assassin. Automatically assassin kind of guy. Yes, but not in the paper.
Yet.
Oh, yet. We see? There you go. There you go. Anyway, he was 25 years old.
How many people among us have 3 names? Ernest.
That's my first name, so shut up. Okay. So he was killed by police. He was also an Army veteran who said that, quote, he wanted to kill white people, especially white officers, according to the Dallas Police Department. Officers exchanged gunfire with Johnson after negotiating with him for several hours. They ultimately detonated C4 plastic explosive strapped to a bomb disposal robot, killing him.
I think this may be the first time that a bomb disposal robot has been used to
dispose of a person. With a bomb.
Yes.
Well, it wasn't a bomb disposal robot at the time. It was having an identity crisis, and it was a bomb dispersion robot.
I'm sorry, Dave. I can't do that. Oh. That's... Yeah. I have to laugh, because otherwise I won't cry. So, it's all tragic. You know, we've got... In that all lives matter, yeah, sure, all lives do matter, but black lives are the ones that are on fire right now, and we need to put them out. You know, in the, you know, all houses matter, but the one that's on fire needs to be extinguished first analogy.
As I posted on a friend's wall on Facebook here, this was an entirely predictable turn of events.
I
didn't know where it was going to happen.
Yeah, I'm going to read. I'm going to read Stephen's diatribe on that as well. But yeah, we've got officers killed. You know, just on the back side of, well, officers killing.
Well, there will be copycats of this.
I don't know.
I don't know if we want copycats.
I'm not saying
we want them, but there's going to be.
I know, but. Are now police officers also going to copycat sending a bomb in via drone?
Oh, of course.
That's probably going to happen more often now because it was effective.
Oh, yeah.
You use what works. But one of the questions I have is, again, this is in Texas.
Yeah.
Which is an open carry state.
It is.
And if I remember correctly, he was armed with a long rifle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Did he have it legally?
Well, almost assured.
Well, he was a U.S. Army veteran, so I'm going to say yes.
More than likely, legally carrying openly in Texas. This is why open carry ain't so great.
Yeah.
Because you can't really stop them until they start shooting.
My position still stands that if you're going to have armed civilians, it should be open carry only.
I don't think open carry is a good idea, because then you simply don't know who the good guy and the bad guy is. And then you just start shooting everyone.
I'd rather
everyone.
Know that the person actually has a weapon rather than, are they armed?
I'd rather not have guns.
I'd rather not have anybody.
Louisville Slugger, it doesn't go off.
I'm at the point now where I can find no reasonable argument that supersedes the safety of all members.
No.
I mean, because the police have C4 armed robots now.
Yeah.
Okay, do you have a C4 armed robot? Is that something that now you can conceal carry? No, oh, it's not. No, David. No, it's not. You can't have that.
It's easy to put a frickin' Radio Shack remote control vehicle in a backpack.
But still, C4. That would qualify as a Title II weapon that we're not allowed to have.
Yeah.
And? We can't have that. No.
No, that's not how escalation works.
In civil society,
where we're headed.
Everybody else has regulated guns.
Yeah.
Come on, folks. It's not hard.
Because Second Amendment, man. That's why.
Yes, guns are cool, but guns are dangerous. I mean, you have people getting accidentally killed in their homes just because of the weapon that they legally own.
I'm perfectly fine with people owning firearms. What should be nearly impossible to come by is ammunition. It should be found nowhere.
So we're going back to the Chris Rock thing, where it's like, yeah, no, guns are reasonable, but you fire more than 3 bullets into somebody, you must have really hated them, because it's $5,000 a bullet.
I'm absolutely fine with that solution. I think that the only place you should be able to acquire any kind of ammunition is a gun range, and you're required to check it in when you're done.
Switzerland solution.
Yes.
Where it's, yeah, you can own a firearm, but all the ammunition is kept under lock and key at a range or a gun club.
Yep.
And you have to check it out. You have to write for when you checked it out, how long you intend to have the ammunition, and it when you check it back in, time, date, sign.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yes, all those things. Now, apparently, we have Mr. Bible Pants out in the chat room, and he has reported that we sound like kids making machine gun noises instead of adults making with the talking. So apparently there is something terribly wrong with the Twitch feed. I'm very sorry for all the viewers that are trying to get us with us live here. So, yes, please watch podcast later. Hopefully that did not sound like machine guns.
Probably type that out.
Well, I'm not even in the Twitch feed myself. I'm just sending out to it. So
I couldn't even log in.
Yeah, I think they're... Well, XSplit Broadcaster did some updates, and everything was screwed up. Like, even the way the fonts were showing, you know, for where it says show 117, that was blurry. So there's something wrong. And, of course, they've changed my production environment without my permission. So, yeah, here we are.
And you had no choice but to update the program.
Yeah, that's correct. So,
of course.
And I pay for it. So, yay.
Yeah, even better.
Yeah, but that's what you get for a subscription. There are apparently other options now that I'm not even using yet, but I don't have time for that right now. So we'll figure that out on the backslide. But at the very least, I am recording the video, and I do have ways of joining the audio that I'm capturing separately. The audio sounds perfectly fine to me. We can have a reasonable conversation, so all that will happen later. So again, for those of you that were trying to join the chat room, thank you very much, and I love you very much. But, you know, shit happens. Okay.
To get back on topic, yes. This guy, Micah, had no criminal history.
None.
None whatsoever. So
in all likelihood, perfectly legally carrying openly in Texas. And decided that he was going to kill a bunch of cops that day.
Yeah.
And he is the first, successfully, I want to say, will not be the last. We have not seen the end of this. And
I hope you're wrong. I pray you're wrong.
We will not see the end of this until something, not just for show, but something gigantic is actually done to curb the violence that is being perpetrated against low-income communities, we'll say.
So, in the words of Oliver Willis on Twitter, More cops were killed last night than Americans who died in Benghazi attacks, so I expect Congress will get it right on it, right?
Nope. More ambassadors died in the Bush administration than in the Obama administration, and then they really investigated that.
Yeah, things that are not going to happen. Yeah, this is basically a terrifying situation regardless. And any time that you have somebody that's a sniper and you're not, say, in Call of Duty, you know, it's going to be a terrifying situation because you don't know who's going to get picked off.
Again, the creation of SWAT in this country was due to a man firing from an elevated position with a long arm. In Texas, if I remember correctly.
Believe there might have been a bell tower there.
Yeah.
Maybe inspired, yeah. But the first SWAT team in this country, I believe, was L.A.
It was. Yeah, Los Angeles had the first actual SWAT team. As I also recall that. I don't know the full circumstances around it, but that rings some bells in my head, too.
So. What also rang some bells in my head was the effectiveness of a particular sniper duo that ran through Virginia when I was living up there. That was not cool.
Yeah.
That was 2002, if I recall correctly, and they had actually bought a former, it was law enforcement, I forget whether it was police or FBI, but it was a stakeout vehicle where you could mount a camera in the trunk and the tail, or the license plate flipped down so that you could record. And they were basically shooting out of the trunk of the vehicle. And just killing basically at random.
Well, that's nice.
Somebody's ex-wife may have been a target, but they never got her. And they thought it was a white minivan every time, if I recall. And it ended up being like a beige car.
Well, you know, eyewitness testimony and all that. Yeah. Now, I will say that they're referring to this as a massacre.
This is a mass shooting. I wouldn't say it's a massacre.
I believe that that's hyperbole. And this is one of those things where they're
Dallas,
escalating the situation.
I imagine, is a very large police department.
Yeah, I would say that there's a lot.
As far as police departments go, they're probably very, they're not, you know,
but
they're not five or six guys.
But for the sheer volume of officers who were shot, not necessarily dead, but were shot,
mm-hmm.
This is very significant.
Oh, yes, it is significant, but I would say that it is not a massacre, and I think that them escalating it to where they say that it's a massacre escalates.
It's a great headline.
Well, it
escalates. Yeah. This is an awesome headline.
Yeah.
If it bleeds, it leads. And of course, yes. We want to be on their good side, so we're going to escalate it in that regard. Yeah.
We're going to make it as grim as possible, and it's going to get red, regardless of demographic. You're going to snatch up that headline, and you're going to read our article.
Yeah. But you know, it's not a headline. Black former Army vet turns his sights on police.
No, but that would definitely be a perfect new headline.
That would be a more detailed headline.
That's what happened. And you know what? Who joins the military in, you know, basically double-digit percentages higher than most other groups are low-income groups. Because they want to get out of their lives. So we have now trained an entire army of people, hundreds of thousands of them in two wars, a lot of them minorities.
And a lot of them disenfranchised.
Who are now disenfranchised back in the United States. And instead of thank you for your service, they're back in their hometowns getting shit on and spit on and watching people die needlessly at the hands of police. And this is not at all the end of what we've seen of this. And it's going to, I think that at some point it's going to be, you know, This guy was a sniper by himself. And I don't believe that he was actually a trained sniper.
Well, there were a couple others that
for somebody who was not an actual trained sniper using true sniper tactics to incite fear and disarray and murder way more effectively. And also, you know, he stayed in one spot for the entirety of his time there. He was going to go down. He had committed to, he was going to die there and take as many cops with him as he could. And it's, at some point, it's just going to be guerrilla warfare.
Well, that's when they brought out the heavy caliber weapons. You know, it's definitely not a small police department when they have C4 and robots.
Yeah.
Yeah, having both, that's a problem.
So
I just scrolled through some of the officers, well, all the officers that they presented.
Have identified.
Yeah. Mr. McBride was shot twice. She is expected to survive.
Wow.
Lauren Atherins, 48, Dallas Police. He was the fifth to die. Senior corporal. Let's see. We've got Michael Smith, 55, Dallas PD. Michael Kroll, 40, Dallas PD. And we've got Patrick Zamaripa. I'll go with that. Age 32, Dallas Police. And Brent Thomas, 43. One of the tragedies here is that, let's see, where is it? Yes. Brent had also recently married another officer as well. So that's kind
and
of
he's
that's,
the first transportation officer, Dallas transportation officer to have been killed in the line of duty.
As part of his role for DynCorp, he mentored and trained police officers in Iraq and Afghanistan. So he was well trained.
Yep.
Okay. Well, let's see. There's more things bad here.
We've got 100,000 calories worth of vegetables here, folks.
Yeah, and this is just episode one. Okay, so Michael Strickland, right wing agitator and Trump supporter. There's a video attached here where he is brandishing a gun at a peaceful Black Lives Matter rally. He's been charged with two Class A felonies after being arrested and initially released Friday morning on his own recognizance without bail. However, he was then taken back in after some things came to light, such as having six extended round magazines. And the judge, well, actually, it was that he was, he also pointed the firearm at an undercover officer. So with that, the judge slapped him with a $250,000 bail, as he was returned to custody at the, Multnomah County Jail. And if he's convicted of the two felonies, he could be sentenced for a maximum of 20 years prison for each count.
Black man seatbelted in car, identifies two police officer, volunteers that he is armed, and tries to reach for his ID, shot. White man points weapon at undercover officer, taken into custody.
And released on his own recognizance when they didn't understand all that.
They didn't understand that our wonderful right-wing gun nut had extended clips and more weapons.
Well, I'm pretty sure they knew how much he had when he was initially brought in. Because, obviously,
yeah, had all you're
going to have to empty your pockets, sir.
Yeah, but it sounds like the extended clips and other firearms were not on him? Or were they on him?
They were on him.
Oh, great.
They were on him. The hearing took place on the same block.
Remanded.
He pulled a Glock 27. Swept the gun at the crowd while yelling, "Get the hell back!" He subsequently outfitted the gun with a large-capacity magazine. At the scene, Strickland said he was only armed in self-defense, but the county district attorney revealed in court that Strickland had six magazines of ammunition on him. In videos of the incident, Strickland also appeared to be far out of the range of any protesters when he menaced them with his gun. Some protesters can be seen facing Strickland with their hands up and urging him to put the gun away and leave. And no, I don't think that we're actually done. Stop that.
Even our show has had enough of the
veterans. Yep, even the show. As first reported by the Raw story, the police found a live round chambered in his gun. In its case, the state also said that there was an undercover cop in the crowd threatened by Strickland. That's what led the cop to the court to get him with the $250,000 bail.
Ah.
Only that. Nothing else.
Oh, you pointed gun at a cop, even though it was an undercover cop. So, we're going to stop you with that fine.
Imagine if he'd done that in a mall.
Imagine if he did that while black.
Commit, that's where grime all black, you're dead.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's why I wanted to add that in. Okay, so, moving right along, ISIS, Daesh, or ISIL, or whatever the hell you want to call them. They've now bombed the Prophet Muhammad's tomb in Medina.
Wow.
Yes.
Actually, shortly after this news broke, I of course actually went to Al Jazeera going, okay, what can you give me? And one of their correspondents who tries to keep tabs on them and knows a lot of their supporters goes, well, why would you do this? And the answer he got was that in the Quran, it says that there should be no, I don't want to get this wrong. I think shrines? No shrines. Oh. And so the tomb of the Prophet Muhammad is treated as a shrine, therefore it is a valid target, is what he was getting from their supporters.
This is what we have as far as fundamentalism, ladies and gentlemen. They try to hurt the pyramids, they try to hurt the Sphinx, they hurt everything else, and now they're even hurting their own holy relics and locations. Nothing is
because
safe.
Because of a strict interpretation of the law. And it's their interpretation. It's interpretation. And anyone who is... And the other thing that that he got from this entire thing is, if you do not subscribe to their precise interpretation of the Quran, Daesh does not consider you Muslim.
Right, and then we get the no true Scotsman kind of fallacy on both ends of the spectrum, where those that are the typical, let's just say, the average adherents of Muslim, of Islam.
Islam, yeah.
Essentially the Daesh. Moderate middle, you know.
Yeah. Daesh is not Islam to them.
Correct. And to then, those that are on the side of Daesh, then
any moderate Muslim,
they're not true Muslims.
It's that you're correct. It's that fallacy.
Yeah, as if we didn't have enough holy war with just the Christians versus the Muslims. Now we've got Muslims versus Muslims.
This is a study of history, in my opinion.
It is.
Because we Christianity had its reformation. It had its bloody war period. We're getting it again now with Islam, the younger religion.
Yep.
It's the same thing.
There was a period where Christians hunted other Christians who were of different Christian sects.
Yes, but thankfully the Christians did not have automatic weapons. And
no, because this was older, so they had pitchforks, torches, swords.
I don't know if that's necessarily better, because they killed an awful lot of Christians in far more horrible ways than getting shot.
But you see, they were pretty effective with those. Imagine if you gave them modern weapons.
Yeah. Go back to the Dark Ages and give everybody some automatic firearms. That would be fab.
No, thank you. No, 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 and no. I'd rather there be dragons.
I can get behind that.
Yeah, I'd rather
there will be. Oh, but there will be.
No, no, there will not be. No dragons. Put those dragons away. Okay, so that's interesting.
That's madness.
Yeah, and essentially, I think we've got the gist of it that they don't think each other is the true article, so they're going to be pointing fingers at each other, and whoever you decide with on one end of the spectrum, you're then going to just point the fingers at the other one. You know, there's no winning in this.
Well, the one silver lining that we've seen come out of the strikes to Saudi Arabia is that one of the ruling princes there has come out and stated that, and it's interesting, the statement that they will go after those that try to recruit their young people into Daesh. Not Daesh itself, but the recruiters for Daesh. And this is somebody who actually holds power there. And this is the first time we've actually heard something that didn't sound like a pre-scripted segment to make sure that everybody's happy. This was a journalist catching him after he had gone and visited some of the victims in the hospital.
I'm of this the opinion sanitized. That not every Muslim has to answer for what every other Muslim does.
Not every Christian
has to answer for what every other Christian does.
If that's the fact, then, you know, half this country would be on the flames.
Right?
It seems like half of it is already.
But I'm sure that the two cops who murdered the black man that they had pinned to the ground, they were most likely Christian, being of this country.
Law of averages.
And they were terrible, awful people, and no one's being, you know, forced to answer for them. The police response is wrong of posting thin blue line everywhere. No, that's not the appropriate response. The appropriate response is, we've got some bad people. We got a lot of good people, and we're going to fix this problem. The answer is not, yep, this is the thin blue line, and we're behind it, and you're either with us or you're against us.
Yeah, it's definitely a digging in mentality.
Well, in the minds of a lot of officers, they're under siege. And that's not entirely wrong.
It's not entirely wrong, but you're under siege because you've allowed a cancer to grow for a very long time.
Absolutely correct.
And very unhealthy,
and
no matter what.
That cancer has grown to the point now where there is no way to tell the good cop from the bad cop.
Sadly.
And if you're the good cop and you saw the bad cop do his thing and you did nothing about it, you're also a bad cop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you watch somebody murder another person and you do nothing to report it, you're complicit in the crime.
You need to.
That's how our laws work on the books, and they should be held to the same standard.
Police your own. Just police your own. Okay. So, into slightly funnier, ironic, oh my God, why kind of news. Being murdered is apparently no reason to forgive student loan debt, a New Jersey agency says. So, those fine folks that have been killed, you know, many of them were my age, 35, 37, not the young man under the truck who committed suicide by cop, but I'm sure that he might have had similar issues as well. So, Let's see. So this, amid a haze of grief after her son's murder last year, Marcia de Oliveira Longinetti faced an endless list of tasks, helping the police gain access to Kevin's phone and email, canceling his subscriptions, credit cards, and bank accounts, and arranging his burial in New Jersey. And then there were the college loans. When she called about his federal loans, an administrator offered condolences and assured her the remaining balance would be written off. But she got a far different response from a New Jersey state agency that also lent her son money. Quote, please accept our condolences on your loss, a letter from the agency said, the Higher Education Student Assistance Authority. Put them in your black book of bad people. Higher Education Student Assistance Authority. After
of
careful,
New Jersey.
Yes, of New Jersey. Well, actually, they might be of other agencies, too, but at least that's their name.
You know, if you go further into this article, it's just Jersey.
Aye. New Jersey loans, yeah. After careful consideration of the information you provided, the authority has determined that your request does not meet the threshold for loan forgiveness. Monthly bill statements will continue to be sent to you. She co-signed the loans. She was shocked and confused, but her experience with the authority, which runs by far the largest state-based student loan program in the country, is hardly an isolated one. An investigation by ProPublica in collaboration with the New York Times found New Jersey's loans, which currently total $1.9 billion, that's B, billion, are unlike those of any other government lending program for students in the country. They come with extraordinarily stringent rules that can easily lead to financial ruin. Repayments cannot be adjusted based on income, and borrowers who are unemployed or facing other financial hardships are given few breaks, including, apparently, death. So.
I've heard it said that student loans are the new indentured servitude.
It's worse, actually.
I tend to agree.
You say it's worse, Daniel. Please.
How this works, especially on the Jersey level, and this is where things get particularly nasty, and why I'm going, well, if you want your kids to go to college, one, move out of New Jersey. Two, never have them go to a Jersey college. Just avoid the state entirely.
Yeah.
Is because Jersey's loans come with, in the article, come with a cudgel that even most predatory for-profit players cannot wield. It's the power of the state. They can actually, because of how these state loans are set up, they can garnish your wages. They can rescind income tax refunds. They can revoke professional licenses.
Oy.
They can take away lottery winnings. And they don't need to get a court approval for this. They can just do it.
Revoking professional licenses, that seems against their better interest.
It seems that way.
It doesn't matter for them because they want to hurt you.
But don't they want your money?
Loan sharking.
But don't they want your money not to hurt you?
They want your money, but they want to hurt you more and get your money. They want to hurt you and get the money.
Because if they just get your money, they just get the bare minimum percentage.
Mm.
If they hurt you to where you wind up in a situation where you cannot repay for a time, they get to do far worse, and they get to add on tons and tons of fees.
Yeah.
This allow
or jacks the rates of the loan. They get to hurt your credit.
They are here to smash you. This is unnecessary financial cruelty. That is perfectly fine by the state.
This is class warfare.
Yes, and the thing is, they voted for it.
Oh, yeah.
You put these people who did this to you in office.
Another borrower.
You signed off on this. You gave them a mandate.
But this is the problem with things like this is people who vote, it seems, tend to have the memory of a friggin' mayfly.
You're insulting Mayflies.
Whoa. The agency filed 4 simultaneous lawsuits against the 31-year-old paralegal after she fell behind on her payments.
Yeah.
Another borrower, Chris Gonzalez, who could not keep up with his loans after he got non-Hodgkin's lymphoma and was laid off by Goldman Sachs. While the federal government allowed him to suspend his payments because of a hardship, the New Jersey sued him, seeking $266,000 in payments, and seized a tax refund he was owed.
Yeah.
So.
And a lot, as you go through the article, the governor gets to, put his fingers in his ears and go, la, 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 la. I know nothing about this.
Except he appointed their executive director, Gabriel Charetta. Yeah.
Yeah.
He also has the power to appoint at least 12 of the agency's 18 board members and can veto any action taken by the board.
Yeah, but he won't.
No.
He doesn't anyway.
Besides administering the loan program, the authority provides financial aid counseling, conducting hundreds of financial aid nights in New Jersey high schools where it offers advice about paying for college, including pitching its own loans. That is so predatory. So yeah. Predatory.
No, this is predatory, it's shady, it should be criminal, but because it's a state program and it's been put together by your representatives... You're governor, folks. It's all legal.
It's, yeah. No.
You gave them a mandate, and you know what they did? They turned it into a weapon against you.
No, they used it.
Since her son's murder, she has made 18 payments to New Jersey, paying $180 per month. She has about 92 to go.
It's 110 payments at the time.
No.
Murder, the gift that keeps on giving. And taking.
And the thing is, even with this wonderful article, even with how far it has spread, even spread to us here in Netlandia, they don't care. Unless they actually get sued, the state of New Jersey, that is, gets sued and they are found guilty, actually have to pay money, they're not going to care.
They'd have to be found guilty by the court system, which is owes a great deal to Governor Chris Christie.
Again,
I'm sure.
Because this is happening in Jersey... This would be a suit in Jersey, and it would have to go up through the different courts of appeals in Jersey until it got to the Supreme Court out of Jersey.
Yeah, what are the odds of that?
Not as far-fetched as you would think.
A New Jersey rule adopted in 1998 allows the authority to give borrowers in default a second chance by allowing them to become current on their account through on-time payments. But the agency has never granted a reprieve and instead cuts off contact with borrowers, leaving them at the mercy of collection firms.
Yep. Again, this is government loan sharking, folks. Don't live in Jersey.
Well, no, just don't do business with the state of New Jersey, really.
Just avoid Jersey.
Yeah. The Garden State, my ass. I never saw a garden when I was there.
Enjoy that rainbow. For those of you in Atlantia, have fun tracking down the reference. So, no. Go to Washington State. It's better.
One family, according to a recent state audit of the agency, took out more than $800,000 in loans, more than 5 times the value of its home.
Oh, yeah, they'll let you borrow as much as you want, because then they have you forever. Then they've got
your
kids.
Beyond death.
Beyond death.
They'll get your family. All of it.
The children of that family will probably be paying on the debt.
Well, you know what? If
anything happened to you,
I think the only reason that she's on the hook for it is because she co-signed.
Yeah.
Had there been no co-signer,
they wouldn't have gotten the loan.
They wouldn't have been able to pursue anyone else. They probably would have tried.
Yeah, we don't know that.
Well, I'm pretty sure they probably would have tried.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just because that law hasn't been put on the books yet doesn't mean they can't do it.
Oh, dear. He actually, he graduated with an engineering degree from Emory-Riddle right here in Florida.
Oh.
With the money from New Jersey. Oh, wow. Okay.
Don't borrow from Jersey.
7.5% on that loan.
On average, yeah. So some high, some low.
I'm going to drink again.
Yeah, that's really, that's hard. Man.
At this point, I kind of want to grab a drink during the break.
Well, don't worry about that. Okay. So Stephen has a bit of a ranty rant for us.
Ranty is
it? It's not that long. Not as long as he usually does. So
this is what I responded to on Facebook.
Yes. So just imagine that I'm Stephen. I'm going to still speak like Andy, though. So when you take a section of the population and subject them to harsher punishments and give them lesser access to a resource or social norm than what others have, you will engender ill will inside that section. However, you typically will not have violent outbreaks, and the people inside said oppressed or at least lesser representative populace will still attempt to work inside the system to see it changed, where they have equal treatment and rights as the rest do. When, however, you take the same populace, which is being given unequal treatment, and instead of just subjecting them to less than what the people in power have, but then also openly kill members of that segment, while also showing that members of the preferred segment can act the same way, or even worse, and will not just be out-and-out shot, you have a boiling point. What happened in Dallas is a perfect result, and an inevitable result, of what has been happening here for the last several years. Yes, not all cops will act the way that these officers have. However, the fact that you have officers who do act like this, and that most of the time they do get away with their crimes, creates a sense of absolute hopelessness in the black community. While some will do nothing, and others will do what the protesters did in Dallas, which is try to bring light to the issue and combat it with love, because I'm breaking script. Because remember, that shooting happened over the top of a peaceful Black Lives Matter protest that was going on. And this guy gets up in a tower and starts sniping police officers. Okay. Let's see. Yes. Combat it with love.
Others take
the extreme approach, and probably the only approach they feel they have left, and lash out against the system and people who they feel are attempting to hunt them down and kill them. When you have no alternative but to either lay down and accept that at any second you may be pulled over, stopped, or tackled by someone in authority, and then shot dead for no crime other than perhaps mouthing off or looking dangerous, you will have a segment which will take up arms. Is what happened in Dallas a tragedy? Of course. However, it was also inevitable. Over the last decade, we have seen harder line approaches to crime, and especially against blacks, mostly due to what is known as broken window policies. You see the same crime being handed down against a white person and a black person and by the same judge, and you will see unequal sentencing with a black person getting the harsher one. We hear stories again and again of blacks being killed, either publicly or in secret by police, while white people can wave their shotguns around, threaten police with them, and yet they are taken down with care and are alive. Hopelessness combined with the somewhat justified belief that a traffic stop may end with you being murdered by those who are in authority and should be there to protect you, it means you either lay down and accept your fate or you fight against it. I'd rather have seen these people keep acting within the system. Yes, change is slow, but all meaningful change is. Be the glacier, it is slow, but inexorable. Fast change tends to be violent, bloody, deadly, and short-lived. So now we sit back and see what happens. Unfortunately, the snipers in Dallas have changed the narrative in a dangerous way. They've also changed the story. While people will talk about the members of the black community who were shot and killed by police, the major conversation has shifted away from one tragedy to another. Do not forget what happened and work for positive change, always. It may be slow, it may take more than your lifetime, but don't stop working, and one day it will happen. I tend to agree with Stephen, which is one of the reasons why I read it here. Ooh, drinks? Hey, PJ, pour me one too, would you? JP.
I tend to agree with Stephen a lot, but I also understand that when you're in the boilerplate, which is a situation none of us on this panel are in, it can be difficult or impossible to ride the glacier because your life might end tomorrow. Versus, no, I'm probably gonna die of natural causes. I got a long time to work on these issues. Micah didn't believe that.
No.
Well, there's also anger. Deep, unabiding anger.
Oh, yeah.
Again, the phrase, I want to shoot some white people.
You know, I don't...
Especially yeah. Cops.
White officers. Yeah.
I don't know that he said that.
Well, you know, we're only getting what we have been told by our media, by our journalists.
And by the police.
And by the police who were negotiating with him over that 2-hour period.
Who sent in a robot with C4 to blow him up.
They robo-blew him up.
Yeah.
Because there was no way they could go in there with a SWAT team and tackle him.
They could have very easily put in a tear gas canister and a flashbang on the same robot that had the capacity to carry C4 in. That lethal force was unnecessary.
But they decided to make the judgment anyway.
It was expedient, and that's for sure.
And again,
well, they murdered him.
Yeah, they murdered him.
Cops, I mean, there's no...
When you take out one of their own, they get vengeful.
Yeah.
Very vengeful.
Right, but...
It's a historical fact.
Yeah, and, it's true. But that breaks the law.
It breaks the law, and there's going to be no prosecution for it.
No.
And in the eyes of many, especially the court of public opinion, especially the white court of public opinion.
I don't know. We're a bunch of white crackers here. I mean,
yes, but but our Fox News loving folk are going to tout what they decided to doing as justice and the right thing to do.
I saw that Trump said something, but I couldn't stomach listening to him. So
that, you know, it's the predetermined reactions of the groups involved necessarily mandate that this is going to end in guerrilla warfare, and there's going to be a lot of cops dead before this is over.
That's not pleasant.
That's not I a just pleasant read thing. The analysis that I see.
Yeah. Okay. Well, gentlemen, I think that we need a break. So I'm going to let Fred take us out with history, this week in history, and then we will pick up on part two. So
hey, Fred.
Here we go.
Refreeze my liquor.
There you go.
Good evening, O'Reilly Radio. This is Fred here with your history. Obviously, I'm not here again tonight. I will get back on a better schedule, I promise. Just a lot going on in the last couple of months. Speaking of a lot going on, this last week would be a lot of stuff to highlight for history. I mean, obviously, we had the 4th of July, American Independence. We've got the multiple shootings and involving, you know, black men and cops and, you know, cops and snipers and things like that. And I'm not going to focus on those things for the history tonight. What I'm going to focus on is a little bit more personal to me specifically. So in the year of someone's Lord, 1999, I turned 18. That age held perhaps more significance for me than most because it also meant that I would be paid out for my portion of a 1994 class action lawsuit against the DuPont Company. In the 1920s, DuPont built a neat little cluster of homes, aptly called DuPont Village, located in the town of Pompton Lakes, New Jersey. Now, this village was largely built to house workers for their munitions factory, which was responsible for making blasting caps and explosives. Between the years of 1990 and 1993, I lived in DuPont Village in Pompton Lakes full-time. I lived with my grandmother and my aunt. Before 1990, I lived and visited the area frequently, also living with my family, with my grandmother, and visiting, you know, my grandmother with my family. And DuPont was found to be responsible for the contamination of groundwater leading to DuPont Village. And despite never actually admitting responsibility, they settled a 1994 lawsuit for $38.5 million to avoid incurring additional legal fees. By 1997, DuPont had spent more than $130 million on the cleanup in addition to that near $40 million settlement for that area. Both of these sums were unfortunately not enough to save DuPont from future legal fees regarding Pompton Lakes, however, as in 1998, another case was filed by approximately 500 residents that was eventually settled in 2004. Luckily, in this case for DuPont, this time around, their settlement included releases that kept approximately 113 families from joining yet another suit filed in 2008 after it was discovered that the previous solvents were now vaporizing up through the soil and into some basements of homes in DuPont Village and Pompton Lakes. You know, this quick jaunt through my personal history came about because of a story I read today regarding a jury verdict awarding a man, David Freeman, with $5.1 million. Now, Freeman's victory was the second of its kind, and this being a solo lawsuit against the DuPont Company rather than a class action, and was a direct result of Freeman's testicular cancer resulting from DuPont's conscious disregard towards citizens in the Ohio Valley. This is another DuPont factory, another history of cancer-causing chemicals being dumped into the air and drinking water. The article I read ended by stating, "Many times in America, the bad guys win and run away with the profit while regular folks are left to suffer. But today is a victory for all Americans as a corporate giant thought too big to be taken down was handled in the legal system to victorious result." $5.1 million and testicular cancer, or general healthiness and no millions. That choice doesn't seem too difficult to make to me, but it is being viewed as a victory here. Unfortunately for me, due to my level of exposure throughout my adolescent years, perhaps it is a choice I may have to make one day. The story may seem feel-goodish right now, but if my earlier bit of history showed anything, it's that DuPont won't, hasn't, learned from their mistakes, and that those affected in the Ohio Valley will be dealing with the consequences for years, if not decades. Now, we tend to end up focused on a lot of things. What's happening now involving race relations and, you know, with the presidential race and with terrorism, and we forget that there are people suffering in many ways all over the place, and sometimes you won't hear about them or how they're tied into history if it's not a spotlight is not shown upon them. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about this because of the personal tie it has to myself. And hopefully I can avoid a similar fate to David Freeman's thanks to my exposure with the DuPont Company. Other than that, I really hope you have a great rest of the show. Enjoy everything the guys give you and have a fantastic night.